Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You are listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. Well, in this program, we have your questions, queries that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your kids. And our answers are based on the Holy Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have with us Brother Miqdad to help us with more insights on Islamic upbringing. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, brother.
Thank you and welcome to all the listeners.
Well, we have been discussing about the important teenage changes that happen with children and what are the important discussions that parents need to have with these children. We discussed the physical changes and how important it is for parents to discuss those physical changes with their children. We also discussed the emotional changes, and in the previous episode, we're discussing about the sins, because this is an age, it's very tender, and in this age, it's very, very possible for teenagers to fall into different kinds of sins. And Brother Miqdad helped us understand that it's very important for parents to have the discussion about these sins and also at the same time be very, very realistic, have realistic expectations, and at the same time discuss the concept of forgiveness as well. Do not discuss in a way that you make your child feel extremely guilty. At the same time, also discuss with them the concepts of forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you said, that there are good deeds that erase the bad deeds. So Brother Miqdad, carry on with the discussion.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before moving on, regarding the point that you mentioned, which was a summary of what we talked about in the previous show, as we mentioned, children at this age go through emotional swings, mood swings as they call it. And so it's important that when we have this conversation, we make sure that we take into consideration these factor of emotions. And so conversation at this age doesn't need to be very logical, technical, argument-based, right? It needs also to have a level of emotion attached to it, a level of friendliness, sensitivity, trust, respect, but also a lot of hope. One of the things that I feel, especially in religious families, usually in our shows, these radio shows, usually religious families are listening to these radio shows. And I feel that in religious families, we have this tendency to be very strict and rigid and not enough positive and not enough hopeful, right? And this lack of being hopeful, being positive, is going to have a lot of negative consequences for a child because of their teenagehood that they're going through and that emotional swings they're going through. Children can very easily go into despair, go into being very negative about themselves, believe that they're not worth anything, etc. And so as parents, when you're having this discussion, especially when we're talking about these things related to sins at this age, it's very important to make sure that we give a lot of hope, a lot of positive energy. And also, and then it's a second point in the same context, and again, it happens very much in religious families, is to ensure that we realize that progress happens gradually, right?
Mm-hmm. Growth happens
gradually. It doesn't happen
overnight.
And this is something that we very often kind of don't take into consideration. Mm-hmm. And we expect teenagers to become awliya of Allah tomorrow. Right, they should be praying all the namaz on time with wudu, with all the mustahabat and the ta'qibat straight away from day one. Okay, it's not going to happen like that. We need to realize that growth and progress happens over months and years and decades sometimes. And we need to give that space to children to grow. And our duty is to make sure that we, at every step, take them along the way at the speed and ability according to what the child has, not according to our expectation of what we want to see in our children. Obviously, we want the best for our children. We want our children to be the best in the whole world. But we need to be realistic and understand that we need to give hope and positive energy at the same time. Understand that this happens gradually. You need to take time.
Right. Brother Miqdad will discuss more with you after a short while. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5 years old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Brother Miqdad, and we're discussing the important discussions that parents should have with the teenagers. Brother Miqdad, you said that change do not happen overnight. So parents, even if they are discussing, even if they are making efforts and having these discussions, they should not expect their teenagers to change or have that a positive change in them overnight. It's a gradual process. And it takes time. And it reminds me of the verse, when you are inviting someone towards haq, towards the right path, and when you're suggesting someone towards come towards the right path, it also needs sabr. That's why you also have to suggest them to come towards sabr as well. Watawassu bil haqqi, watawassu bil sabr. So, Brother Miqdad, what are the more important discussions that parents can have with their children?
Before I answer that, just to kind of really emphasize, because I feel really strongly about this, having seen the negative impact of such situations.
Of such expectation, actually.
Such expectations, right. I remember once one of the brothers came back from one of the cities he had gone for tabligh, and he was saying, he was very disappointed about the situation in that community. He was saying all the youths and generally the entire community, he said the slogan of that community is that I can't do it. He says it's not possible. He says everything that we wanted to do, organize programs, classes, how much you would encourage them, they always had an argument for not being able to do it. And they're like, no, we can't do this. This is not possible. We can't do it. And he was like, the slogan of the entire community was, I can't do it. This is not going to work. And he was explaining how it's so disabling, right? And so frustrating when you have individuals that just don't have hope, don't have this ability to say, look, I can do it, let's move on. And on the flip side, when you look at our scholars, when they talk to the community, when they talk to the public, they constantly remind us that you can do it, right? Mm-hmm. You are able to do it, and you will be able to do it. And it's important and you realize how much they give hope to the youths, how much hope and positive energy they give to the youths. And they kind of pass on this message that, look, you are able to do it. And this is something we've learned from the Quran, we've learned from the Ahlul Bayt, that when we talk to teenagers, we need to give that level of positive energy, that level of hope, to ensure that they don't fall into despair. Even at times when you have children that are doing, for example, mistakes, they're committing sins, right? It's not because they're committing sins that you kind of remove them from Islam. I know children, for example, at this age, when they see a woman, for example, not wearing hijab, I've heard this, kids come up to me and say, she might not be a Muslim, right? But they've completely removed her from Islam just because her hijab was a bit weak. Right. This is not the right attitude that we have, right? This is not what the Quran teaches us. You can be a very amazing person, have a lot of faith, and be a good religious person, and at times commit mistakes and sins. And not that we are endorsing that it's okay to make sins, to make mistakes and commit sins. No, not at all. It's possible for us to be such that we don't commit any sins. But the point is this, that we need to give positive energy, that you are able to overcome those sins if you work a bit hard. But it comes gradually, it comes progressively. And as we work together slowly, slowly, we can help each other to overcome
these mistakes. Well, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We are with Brother McDowell, and we are discussing the important discussions parents need to have with the teenagers. So, Brother McDowell, you were saying that the changes, the positive changes that we're expecting is a gradual process. It does not happen overnight. The most important thing that parents or the scholars need to keep in mind while discussing these important topics with the teenagers is that they give them the hope. The hopes of the positive changes that, yes, they can overcome the mistakes.
Another point that's important to remember when we talk to children and teenagers, especially at this age, about these different sins related to desires, for example, and sins related to teenagehood generally, is to make sure that we talk about these things in the right way.
All right.
Children will be talking about these things, right? So they'll be talking about the opposite gender. They'll be talking about what they've seen on TV with their friends and their people around them. And the way they'll talk about it, obviously, is very different from the way that you want to talk about it. So, the point I want to make over here is that the balance between being open about this, that we need to have a conversation about this, I'm not going to be shy. We're not embarrassed to talk about these things. But at the same time, we talk about it in a very modest way, in a not shy that doesn't allow the conversation to happen, mm-hmm. but shy in a way that it's not so open that it becomes...
It erases that gap.
Higher, exactly, right? So we can talk about physical changes that happen at this age. We can talk about things that are related to adult conversation, things that are related to gender interaction, for example, and the sins related to desires, etc. And the words that we use, the tone that we use, even sometimes the pronouns that we use and how we approach this discussion is important, right? Don't just start using terminologies about the different parts of the body, for example, or different things that happen in a very open way that we want to be open and we want to have no shyness and we're just going to talk about it as if I'm talking about it with your friends, for example. No.
Right.
You want to show them that it is very possible to have these conversations and it's important that we do. But I'm also going to teach you practically of how we talk about these things. There's a level of modesty. There's a level of using particular words and terminology in a way that they are not terminology that might be too open and we can use other words instead, or we can use a more indirect way to make sure that whilst you understand what I'm talking about, I'm using a more indirect, more softer approach because this is how we talk about these things. And this type of conversation and discussion with a teenager will lead to a lot of haya, will lead to a lot of modesty and these positive traits that we need to create in teenagers. Haya and modesty is a very, very important trait that we need to create. This is that positive trait that will ensure that they don't go towards sins, they don't go towards doing certain things that are against the commands of Allah. And so one of the ways to build that is to ensure that when we talk about certain things, we talk to them about it in a very modest way.
Yes, we have to take care of that gap, the haya gap, while having these discussions so that that trait of modesty remains within our children. And it remains so that so much to the extent, to the level that they always have this haya when they are lonely as well, not just they have the modesty when they are actually facing certain circumstances. Thank you so much, Brother Miqdad, for being with us. Thank you so much to your listeners. If you have any queries or questions regarding the Islamic upbringing of your kids, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Just in case you want to listen to our program again, go back to our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/en. Go to the tab, Call of Islam, and you'll find our programs there. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIP English Radio. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.